Please turn your Bible to Gospel according to Mark chapter 5. Shall be reading from verse 25 to 34. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. And she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body, and she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned of him about the press, and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude throwing thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her, that she had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." May the Lord add more blessing as we meditate. I thank the Lord for this opportunity to thank you. Thank you for having me in your pulpit. And I really enjoyed the last few weeks I spent in Australia. Your great hospitality was a great blessing to me. I often think about why should even you care for me, but it's all because of your love towards the Savior. So I'm so thankful. I thoroughly enjoyed your hospitality. Continue to pray for the ministry back in home. Lord willing, I'll be traveling back to India on 25th of October. I appreciate your thoughtful and continual prayers, that I may go with the blessings of the gospel and the power of gospel to do what the Lord just have me to do back in home. So remind you a couple of prayer requests. There are 30 more prayer requests, but I think at least two of them I'd like to make you to remember and pray. My pressurizing need of the ministry, pray for the home in northern part of India, the Abused Girls Home. We've been able to put a down payment and pay some money towards that, and need rest of the funds. Sometimes I get calls when I was here, the man needs some more money, so I just appreciate your thoughtful prayers for that. And also pray that next year, as we start our college in Punjab, that we might be able to have enough room to be built for the students. This year we just turned down 45 students this year. Could you imagine Bible college turning down the people because there is no space? So we already have 3 buildings renting there, 2 of them we bought it. So still we have some land, need to pay some more money, then be able to build a few rooms for the boys. When the opportunity is there, we have to make that opportunity in a mighty manner to reach out to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since that the state is much open than any other states in India, we like to see that work being established so that it can go region beyond, not only India, Pakistan and Afghanistan and other space that we might be able to reach with the gospel. Everywhere, people need Jesus. So I appreciate your thoughtful prayers the Lord may provide that we might be able to go ahead with that. There's one personal need, pray for my wife. As you know that without her, I was not able to do what I was doing now. And she kind of little glimpses. She takes at least 70 to 80 calls every day. And then taking care of the guests, then going to college and helping the girls. And on and on. And I thank God for her. And there's a word in the book of Proverbs says, "Whosoever findeth the wife findeth good thing." And I really found a good thing. Thank God that for that, you know. So that find, that word is very important. That somebody said that find meaning, searching diligently. So young people, when you search, search diligently. And that the Lord may bring the right one. I'm so thankful for that opportunity. So God really used her in my life, in our family. If she was not taking care of the family the way she was taking care, I was not able to sacrifice that time to travel. And recently we celebrated our 38th anniversary, our wedding anniversary. That she came and whispered, "You did not even live with me 16 years. You were traveling." And of course it's because you gave me the opportunity for that. So it's not that I neglected her or she neglected me, but thank God we all knew it's an heavenly commission is upon us. And that need to be done with urgency, not whenever you have time. The God's work must be done with urgency, that because there's a great commission from heaven, people need to be saved. We need to minister to the people. Jesus Christ did not hesitate to come down from heaven to this world, taking in the form of a little child. I cannot understand the fathom of God's wisdom and love and grace and mercy, kindness. Oh, it's that He came down just and been able to just go to the cross of Calvary and dying on behalf of you and me. Which brings me this passage today which we read. So the title of my message will be Go in Peace. Last time we said go home. Now go in peace. I'd like to just bring you very short, because somebody was announcing that you got hot there. I was in Andhra Pradesh preaching the word of God. I was in half-sleeve shirts, and it's in the month of May. And they said, "Please, sir, you have to come, and we have a great meeting, and please do come." So I went there. They put on a tent, and nearly 2,000 people there. And the heat was 48 degrees. And it coming through the tent to my skull. I thought my head is bursting. But thank God, few souls got saved. We praise God for that. No. So there are cold and hot, but we have to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people sometimes find excuses. Because today is more rain, I cannot go to church. Tomorrow is a nice weather, why should I go to church? You know, those kind of things there. No, this is the things that we come to the house of God. We praise God that He saved you and me, that we can come. And recently I was preaching in a church. I was waiting. People were coming and coming and coming. There were 15 minutes took people coming in the border of Nepal. Then I said, "You know, you folks, you do not know. You are just not treating our Savior properly. Because He came and waiting over here from last 30 minutes. Everybody, where is He?" The Bible says, where two or three gather, there He is. There He is. He never say, "I will come later." No. Jesus, come first. Where two or three gather, there I am, Jesus said. We come to gather around Him. He is waiting for us. And He has come with urgency. Oh, that's good. The next service, everybody was there 15 minutes early. This is a true matter sometimes. You see that. Here, this lady, Jesus Christ was on the way to another mission. Because Jairus, a ruler, his daughter was sick. And she is about to die. And the Lord was asked. So He came and pleaded, and He was going to heal or raise that little girl. So wherever the Lord Jesus was gone, a multitude followed Him. Multitude followed Him. Then verse 26, as we start reading, and had suffered many things, this lady, a certain woman, do not know her name. So I like to bring in the four things that's very easy to remember. Four, her problem, and her faith, and her cure, her blessings. So just keep that in mind. Her problem, she was sick with 12 years of issue of blood. And it's a terrible, when you get a terminal ill, it affects not only the body, then the mental state. And physical, and it's psychological, and She been just suffering with the 12 years. I remember I was only 22 months with sickness of TB. 4 months isolated from the army camp. It was so hard for me. They put me out in a tent in a small hill. I thought, I'm going to take my life. I'm not going to stay. That's a hard thing for me to put somebody in a... Somebody isolated me. A miraculous way God saved me. I was trying to take off my life. But anyway, then they took me to hospital. 18 months there. Long times. But this woman been suffering with 12 years. Yeah, that's also a disease which the Old Testament condemned that and keep her away. Filthy. And the Word of God says, verse 26, she had suffered many things of many physicians. She went doctors after doctors after doctors. She needed to get right for her problem. Then not only that, she had spent all that she had, a continual going on treatment, and going with the hope that somebody will help her. It all cost money. So what happened that she spent all her living, all that she had. And the thing is, the result was nothing bettered. She would be happy if spending all my money, if I get, well, it would be good. But she was not getting better. Rather, the Word of God says she grew worse. It's a kind of picture of sinner, you know. We try to just, people sometimes they don't realize they are sinners, but they are sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come from the glory of God. Then get into deeper and deeper, and then they experience the miry clay. You try to get out from there, you're going deeper and deeper and deeper. See, she was getting worse, and grew worse. I surely think because as she was coming alone to the Lord Jesus. So which is also affected not only her health and her psychological things, but it affected the friends and family. She was not brought with somebody else because when having a terminal ill, spending everything and no money, sometimes the friends won't come. The family won't come. I was in Trivandrum TB hospital around 20 years back. I constantly visit there, giving tracts and leading people to the Lord. One day I went, there was an elderly lady sitting outside near the garden, looking towards the gate. I saw quite often she sit there. One day, I took the courage to go to her. I sat with her. I asked, Mother, to whom you are anticipating? She just turned and her cheek and cried and said, Son, I'm glad you asked. Around 7 years back, my children brought me here. My husband came along with that, kept me over here. And since then I'm looking. Nobody ever turned. They knew I have worse TB, I'm going to die here. She was looking for someone else. It affects the friends and family. That's the reason she has to come alone. She's getting worse and worse. And not getting better. And her pocket is getting empty. Maybe she might have sold her belongings and goods. But nothing is getting a kind of discouragement. Depression. Sweeping her life. Thank God, her faith, verse 27. She had heard of Jesus. She had heard. I like this. Somebody might have told her. Somebody told her. You tried everything. You are discouraged, disheartened, depressed. But let me tell you, there's a rabbi from Nazareth. He might be the answer to your problem. Some of you, if you can go and meet him. She may be thinking, how can I go? Nobody's there to take me. Is any time he'll come through this way? Maybe the only eternity can reveal. Maybe Lord took that time to go through that way. And what happened? She heard. No wonder the word of God says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Her faith. That's the reason sometimes people come and ask me, how you talk to a Hindu to the gospel? How you just approach an agnostic or just maybe a Muslim or something? We all want the plans and the kind of tricky to somehow to get the gospel to them. You cannot make gospel in a capsule for Hindus in a different way, and Muslim for a different way, and Christian for a nominal Christian for a different way. It's only the gospel, the word of God. I always tell them, insert God's word in every talk. The word of God is the one going to bring faith in people. Not your intellectual words, not your just fabricated stories. The word of God. That's the reason the word of God, the Bible says to go and preach the gospel. Gospel. Sharing the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I can tell my stories, I can tell my experience in Christian life. It can just make your hair raise, your body, but it will not produce faith in you. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. As we preach the word of God, the God Spirit take the word of God and just work and operate in the hearts of people and mind of people and bring faith. Faith. Behold, you come to know Him as your Savior. Here this ray of hope came to her life. Maybe, yes, the rabbi which I heard, he healed many people. He was answered to many problems. And he's able to help me, so I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to go. It's not that some people think, some people's faith is like taking a lottery, you know. It's work, it's work, it's okay. Yeah, I tried in many things, let me try for Jesus. No. He's the only way. He's the only answer to your problem. He has to come with faith. Like the story, the man, or the two criminals were crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. The two of them ridiculed the Lord Jesus. The one, later, as you study all these four gospels, one later, turned and rebuked the man. See, he did not do anything. We are just to deserve all our punishment. He did not do anything. So he acknowledged, he's a lost criminal. He acknowledged also the Lord Jesus is innocent. And he also turned to him. He could not turn his head because he was crucified there. It is very hard, painful. But he turned his mind and heart by faith to him. Lord, remember me when you cometh into thy kingdom. That means he believed. Jesus Christ's life is not going to end on that cross. He's going to come back. He'll believe that. He knows that he's going to come back as the King of Kings. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus knew, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a great answer for his pleading cry, faith. I always tell that the great faith you can see in that man on that cross. We do believe in a crucified, buried, risen Savior and looking back and we believe or we come to know Christ. The Jews believed for a Messiah is going to come according to God's promise. He's going to come and die for us, but the man who was crucified with Christ, he is putting his trust in the one who has been crucified with him there, believing that he is going to come back in his kingdom. And Lord, remember me. And this woman, everything I tried, everywhere, heartache and pain and problems, now heard about Jesus. I'm going to go. I'm going to go. When she had heard of Jesus, thank God this evening, let me proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You. Everyone. But thank God, God understand our helpless, hopeless situation. The sin can only bring death and lost eternity. No one can help you. No religion, no church, no prayer, no offering, nothing. The answer to your sin problem is only faith in Jesus Christ. So Jesus took your place and my place. Took your sin upon Him. As Brother Matthew was explaining the other day, He was not afraid of that painful death. Jesus never afraid and prayed, "Father, if let this cup be passed, possible." No. But the sinless Son of God who hates sin became our sin. That's the reason the Father has to turn His face away from Him. He became our sin. The sinless, perfect Lamb of God became my sin. How much He loved you and me. He knows the dirty, filthy sins. Without hate, He took upon Him because He loved you to have eternal life and to call the punishment upon Him. Finally shed His blood and died. Hallelujah, what a Savior we have in the Lord Jesus. A Savior who loved you. He knows your past. He knows what you have done private and publicly. In secret. Anything you have done. Even through your thoughts and deeds and anything. Knowing that. And He knows what you will do in the future. Knowing that. He knows what is going on. Your mind now. Knowing that. Without hate. He loved you. He gave His life for you. He died on the cross of Calvary. Could you see like that God in any other religion? Only in Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus. Thank God, He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. He is my King of Kings. He is my Lord of Lords. And He is the only answer to your problem and my problem. And He can save. No wonder He said, "I am the life. I am the resurrection and life. I am the truth and life. I am the way. No other ways." Thank God. He is my God. What happened to this lady? She went. What all things she heard produced faith in her. She just gone. And she just went. Maybe she was so weak. She could not catch up with the crowd. So she might thought, maybe I will go behind the crowd. Somehow reach my hand and touch this garment. Maybe the Holy Eternity will reveal that. Maybe Jesus might just slow down, isn't it? He knows everything. He knows everything. He might just slow down. There's somebody coming behind. Because He's all-knowing God. All-powerful God, all-knowing God. He knows everything. And He might have a little bit slow down. Let this poor lady need my help. She come by faith. Let me slow down. But the people who were just thronging with Him, walking with Him, did not know what was going in the mind of Christ. Who knows what a great, wonderful God. So what as He came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said that her faith revealed through words and her thoughts. "I may touch but His clothes I shall behold." The little things what she heard began to grow in the Word of God, in a faith. Now the faith began to fly with the two wings. If I little touch that garment, the end of it, that garment, I don't have time to explain either the hem of His garment. Beautiful. The finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of lack of time, because everything is hot now here, anyway. So what she just did, reached down with her hand. She said, "If I may touch but His cloth, I shall behold." She's not talking to somebody else. She's not talking to another person. She's talking to herself. Her faith is confirming in her heart and coming with the thoughts, the words. If I just touch, I shall be whole. And straight away, the fountain of her blood was dried up. Straight away, immediately. Today we have a lot of healers. But I always see in the Bible, the miracle healings, just once and for all, immediately, never to be repeated. So what happened? She touched. The fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. That faith. There is no magic in the cloth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there will be magic in the cloth which is sent from America to many other places. But there is no magic over here. Just faith. And the word of God says, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about the press and said, who touched my cloth? He just looked around. He stopped there. He looked around and just said, who touched my cloth? Who touched my cloth? This is not 21st century. This is the first century, you know. Today, if you go to the mall, to the shop, you can see that somebody wants a shoplift with some clothes. When they just come out, there will be ringing bells because something they attached over here on the cloth, you know, sensor. But Jesus Christ did not put any sensor on his cloth. No sensor. So how can just touch that cloth? He came to know. That's the reason. That is the mind of the people. So the disciple reacted to his question. Verse 37 says, and his disciple said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Lord, you are out of your mind. Everybody is touching you. Everybody is rubbing on you. Everybody is touching. You must be out of your mind because you are overworked, tired. You are walking. You do not know what you are asking, Lord. And what's up the reaction of Christian many times to the things happened in your life? We just fabricated with the words by chance, coincidence, all those kind of things. Who touched me? And Peter and all other people said, you are out of your mind. Everybody is touching you. Everybody wants to see what is happening. Everybody wants to know that what is going around you. It's interesting. This is the same incident in Luke chapter 8. And you can see, and the other Gospels, you can see that Jesus, who touched me? Who touched me? Who touched me? He did not say the other passage, who touched my cloth, but he said, who touched me? So I just put in a sanctified thinking. As she just leaned to touch the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ, in between the crowd reaching out this garment, the unseen hand of her faith went and touched him. That's what happened. Faith goes with the unseen hand and touching him. That's the reason he said, who touched me? In Luke. Who touched my cloth? Thank God, anytime, anywhere, by faith you reach out to him, you can touch him. He will know that. He will answer to that. He will answer to that. The faith which reach and touching. Maybe touching the heart of the Savior. I remember in the hospital bed I cried out, Lord, I am an awful sinner. I am just on the way to eternal damnation. I had a great religion and worked very hard. But no peace and joy because of my sin. Lord, I believe that you loved me and came for me, died in behalf of me, and was buried, and you are risen Savior. Jesus, save me. That touched the heaven, and Jesus heard my prayer and will hear your prayer and come to your heart and save you. Lord, come to my heart. What a wonderful Savior. Our faith. Then her cure. The disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude throwing thee, and seest thou who touched me? And he looked, but Jesus did not stop. He knew that. He's not telling, oh, there may be something. No. He knew that because he understand. Our God understand. He is God. He continually looked around about to see her. The other thing I put that, surely he knows who touched her. Surely he knows that where she is. This is the only time you can see that a kind of embarrassing this person. The Lord acting that way, saying, who touched me? He knows that answer. This is the only time you can see this kind of embarrassment to the crowd. Who touched me? What happened? You know. And he's looking, but there was something he wanted to teach her. So, she, her problem, her faith, and her cure. And then, her blessing from the Lord. And Jesus looked. But the woman, fearing and trembling, verse 33, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He came and told him. Then the word of God says, and he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. It's a blessing. Here is the heart of the Lord Jesus. As she touched and she knew immediately her blood, she was stopped and she was healed, she felt it. But Jesus want send her with a word of assurance, you're all right. I know what happened. I help you and go in peace. That's assurance. Everyone, those who put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus does want you to know that he gave eternal life. And that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that your sins are forgiven. That you may know that you have a place in heaven. That you may know that the condemnation is passed from you. That you may know that you have eternal life. I have one time the foot valley of Himalayas near Kashmir. Lot of monks there. Sometimes I go, I wanted to go to some of the deeper part of jungle. People often ask me, don't go because they are kind of cannibals. They eat even human flesh. And so they don't want me to go there. So I said, I want to go. It's not that just what I want to just tell them the truth. So I met one time a monk. And he was there for 62 years. It's almost around 84, 87 years. Is an asceticism and all that beards long and just look like in a kind of peaceful saint. That was sometimes the Westerners come to India seeing this all kind of Maharshi and those kind of rishis and things look like they have something else. They have nothing. Only Jesus has something. Only he has got eternal life. And so ask them how long you're doing. I'm here for 62 years. Now you know that you sure that you will be going to the eternity with nirvana. I use the language, nirvana. Who knows, son? I'm still trying. 62 years trying. I asked him, when you are going to stop trying? When you will have the assurance that led me to say the gospel? Everyone, those who put your trust in Jesus Christ, you may know that you have eternal life. Christianity is the only assurance given to the lost sinner when they put their trust in Jesus Christ. All other religions say work, and who knows? Maybe that day will reveal that. It will be too late. Because Jesus said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life. No matter you may be coming to church, a regular attendance, giving to missions, and loving the missionaries, and loving like a missionary come from India, feeding me, it's all great, wonderful. But all those things are not going to help in salvation. No baptism, some are going to take baptism. Some trying things, but let me tell you, none of those things, if any of those things could take somebody's sin away, Jesus will never go to the cross to become my sin. He became our sin. because he knew that. That's the reason he cried, Father, any possibility, let this cup pass. No. The eternal counsel of God knew that his son has to go. But the awfulness of sin made him to pray. He means he's going to be separated from the Father because of your sin and my sin. And that what he won't let her know, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Go in peace. Don't be worried about it. Like Australians say, no worry. Go in peace. I took care of your problem. Maybe some of you over here sitting, you never dealt with your sin. Never know that you are saved. You're doing the best what you can do in the church coming. But if you don't have Jesus, let me remind you with a humble spirit, lowliness of mind, with appealing to your life. If you don't have Jesus, you're lost. You need to come to know Him. He's the only answer to your problem. Thank God. He's in our midst today for you. You are here today. Don't just go out from this door or that door. You said that pastor told only this door. No, that even that door. Without making sure that you have eternal life. And she went in peace. Let you go peace. Thank you.